Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Been, hasn't it? Hope everybody enjoyed last week's show with Doreen Taylor. Is tickets still available for the Bristol Riverside Theater in Bristol, Pennsylvania, not Tennessee or Virginia? Unfortunately, if it was here, I would head on down. But anyway, you can go to DoreenTaylor.com, RSVP, and check it out. She's really good. Really, really good. Anyway, well, finally we don't have to watch any more of those dopey election commercials. That is done. Congratulations to Donald Trump for winning the presidency of the United States, getting ready to take over in January next year. Hopefully things work out to everybody's benefit. Of course, candidates make a lot of promises, and then they got to deal with Congress. But having both houses in his corner, he should be able to get some things done. Of course, the last president, when he got elected in 2008, had both houses as well. And we know it all happened from there. But anyway, 8 years of one. Thank God we could change him out after every 4 years, really, if you don't like the job they're doing. But we'll just have to wait and see. Of course, the racing season, what our main interest coming through here is this week, it's coming down to the wire. 1 week left in the NASCAR season. All three touring series will be in action at Homestead, Miami. NHRA did wrap up their season this past weekend out in California. And they had their banquet, of course, last night. Usually Monday night's their banquet. I remember a few years back, this was 2010, John Force won his 15th driving championship, because he had one extra as an owner. And of course, he won his 15th championship. He won his 16th 3 years ago. So they'll get it done. Of course, last season marked a change in manufacturer and sponsors, going from Peak to from Castrol to Peak. But anyway, where I was getting to was in 2010 when he won the championship, he was called Garage Talk Live heading into the banquet. So that was pretty neat. But everybody gets to reflect on things they've done. Erica Ender Stevens probably looked like the pro stock two-time champ who had a bad season this year and couldn't three-peat her title. Probably, I know her and the team getaway and go on a hunting trip and get to hash things out, mull things over, and get ready to try new things. Going from Chevy to Dodge this between seasons this year, and new learning curve, of course, fuel injection coming into play in the Pro Stock Series. Also, engineering things you have to overcome in a short off-season break before you get ready come February for the new season. But let's get to the results from Auto Club Finals. In the top fuel division, the battle for the final event Wally of the season came down to Doug Kalita and J.R. Todd. J.R. Todd, your number one qualifier. Kalita, your number two qualifier. So you had the two fastest guys qualifying. Battling it out for the Wally. J.R. Todd had to go through, of course, starts off the round, the eliminations against the 16th, and number two will go 15th, and then they pinch down from there. So J.R. Todd had to go through Troy Buff, who actually had a better ET, but qualified, faulted out. Then had to go against Richie Crampton, who, former guest of the show, actually had hit the red light and just coasted, I guess. Why waste the thing? And once you hit a red light, you're disqualified, so don't blow up the motor trying to get a good time. And then he went up to face Antron Brown, guy who already had clinched the Top Fuel Championship. So Brown was just going for the extra trophy, but do it against J.R. Todd. Todd had a slower reaction time, 08 to 04, but the 370 ET was a lot better than the 376 for Antron. It sounds like a lot. Really, it isn't, though. It's we're talking 600ths of a second. And on the other side of the spectrum, Doug Kalita teed it off against number 15, Sean Reed. Round one wasn't even close. Beat Reed by a whole second. Tony Schumacher was the next one to come up against Doug, the Sarge. It was a close battle here. Doug Kalita with a quicker reaction time, an 0.53 to an 0.69. But here was the difference, and it wasn't by much. We're talking just under 0.04 of a second. Kalita had a 3.74 with a 2. Schumacher had a 3.77 with an 8. That's really close. Then up against Sean Langdon in the semis. And this was an even tighter battle. Kalita with an 0.48 to Langdon's 0.59 off the tree. Had Langdon gotten a better reaction time, he might have taken it, because here's how tight it was. It was a 3.73 with a 4 for Kalita, and Langdon with a 3.74 with a 7. So we're looking at 0.07 of a second difference. And then in the finals up against J.R. Todd, it was the whole shot. Close. Kalita had a 3.74 with a 5. J.R. Todd with a 3.70 with a 4. 0.04 of a second slower. But here's the kicker. The 0.63 reaction time versus the, for Kalita versus the 1.12 reaction time. We're talking, got out of the tree twice as quick. On the weekend, the lowest ET of the weekend, that includes all the qualifying rounds, is J.R. Todd. And this is why he probably won the number one position here. It was a 3.68, probably one of the fastest ETs you're going to see. Best reaction, Antron Brown with an 0.46. which he turned in the semis. And then a top speed, Tony Schumacher with a 3:29.34. Pretty darn fast. 1,000 foot. They don't run the quarter mile anymore in the nitro divisions for safety. In the funny car, the finals came down to John Force, who I was just talking about earlier, and Tommy Johnson Jr. We'll get to the championship for the winners in a little bit. Jack Beckman was the number one qualifier, but he lost to John Force in the semis. John Force, of course, I consider one of the greatest drag racers of all time, took round one against Cruz Pedregon, who tripped the red light. But Force had a 3.96 with a 4. The Pedregon's 4.07. Then up against Ron Capps, guy battling for the funny car title. Dispatched him, 3.94 for Force to a 3.93.8. For Caps, the difference, 0.051 to 0.061 off the light. Whole shot win for Force sent him against number one qualifier, Fast Jack Beckman. Force with a 3.93. To Beckman's 9.02. 0.38 reaction, not even close. Beckman usually spinning the tires when you turn that low. I didn't get to see it. And that moves Force into the final round against Tommy Johnson Jr. Tommy Johnson had no slouch getting through him to get there either. Round one against Dave Richards, 4.37 for Johnson. To Richards, 6.36. Reaction time, Johnson 0.69, Richards 1.19. Then up against Robert Height, 3.89 with a 7. The Height's 3.92, taking round two. Height with a quicker reaction time, not enough to pull a whole shot on Tommy Johnson, 0.59 for Height, 0.73 for Johnson. Then up against Courtney Force. So there could have been a repeat of last time where the Forces, John and Courtney, would have been in the finals. Of course, John won the last battle between him and his daughter. But this time, Tommy Johnson Jr. with a whole shot. And he needed it to beat her because she had a 3.91 with a 6. He had a 3.92 with a 9, so that 1/100th of a second, or we'll say 13/1000th of a second in slower ET, he made up for with an 0.09 reaction time, almost a perfect light. But Johnson, number three qualifier against number four John Force in the finals, not to be denied this week. Here was the difference. 3.91 with an 8 for John Force. 3.91 with an 8 for Tommy Johnson Jr. Identical ETs. What did it come down to? The Christmas tree. Who got out of, had the better reaction time? And that was even close. We're looking at an 0.46 for John Force. Pretty darn good. Now, Johnson coming off his 0.09, which is triple zeros is a perfect light. In other words, you're on it as soon as the green hits. 0.41 for Tommy Johnson Jr. 4.51 of a second. Quicker, punching that throttle. Was enough to take the win. Photo finish at its best. I'm going to go to the YouTube channel to see how tight that was on the photo finish. So congratulations to Tommy Johnson Jr. to take in the final Wally of the season. And I'll let you know who the champion is. If you don't already know, big drag racing fans already know who it is. I already know who it is, too, but I have to do this. Pro Stock Car. Pro Stockers. The end came down to a battle of front runner Jason Lyon versus number two Greg Anderson. Round one, Jason Lyon had to go through Alan Pruszynski. Beat him by a second there to round two. Chris McGahey, no slouch. Close race on that one. D with a 5 for Lyon. 660 with a 7. 2/1000ths of a second for McGahey. This could have been a different ballgame. Difference right there, other than 2/1000ths of a second reaction, 0.21 for Lyon, 0.51 for McGahey. That reaction time difference could have made the difference for McGahey if he got a better reaction time, pulled the whole shot. And Lyon goes up against our friend Erica Ender Stevens. First time she's made it to the semis in quite some time. But while she was almost perfect off the light, with an 0.03 to his 0.57, the ET wasn't even close. 6.59 to a 13.9. She broke something, and halfway down the track, and momentum carried her over. But you know, when you're now here, they run the quarter mile, so that helped Jason Lyon get into the finals. His teammate Greg Anderson up against Aaron Strong, round one. Beat him by a second there, or a tenth of a second, I should say. Up against Shane Gray, who's stepping out of the vehicle as a driver. In a close one there, both had, oh, this was tight. Greg Anderson is 6.59 with a 2. The Shane Gray's 6.59 with a 6. Anderson got him at the light by 1/1000ths of a second reaction time, 0.21 for Anderson and an 0.28 for Gray. This was a pretty close heat, and Anderson edged him. Then up against Bo Butner. Butner with an 0.20 off the tree to Anderson's 0.52, but the ET 6.63 to Anderson 6.59 with a 6 was enough to give him the edge going into the finals against his teammate Jason Lyon. And then in the finale, pole shot win for Anderson, 6.58 ET to Jason Lyon's 6.57. Here's the difference, an 0.44 for Lyon to an 0.16 for Anderson. That being said, we're looking at battles for a championship, so once I get to the results of the Pro Stock motorcycle, we'll head that way. But Anderson takes the last Wally of the year. Best reaction time of the weekend. Erica Enders with a 0.03. Of course, she did that in the semifinal round. Shame the car didn't hold up, because she definitely would have got into that finals. And Anderson and Enders have a history. He had made a comment. He didn't want to be the first one to lose to her when she got her first ever event win. And guess what? He was the first one to lose to her. So there was a little bit of a... And then there was something about where somebody, photographer, took a picture of her with her Wally right under, right by his trailer. He got a little butthurt for that one, but, you know, she's heading back to her, this photographer, as, hey, can we get a shot? I'm sure the photographer knew what he was doing, but kind of looked like she did it on purpose to rub it in his face, but he deserved it anyway. But that's neither here nor there. You don't make a comment saying you hate to be the first one to lose to her because it'll go down in history, and then do it and wind up doing it, but it's just the irony of it all and how it goes. On to the Pro Stock motorcycle, the two-wheelers. Came down to Angel Sampei versus Matt Smith. Number one qualifier, Jerry Savoie. Angel is the winningest female drag racer in the NHRA. She has more wins than anybody else combined. And she went out with a bang. Actually, she didn't. So she went up against Matt Smith, and she was the number 16 qualifier. She was going for another one of her record wins, but she had to go against Jerry Savoie, who actually Sean Polachek, round one, Andrew Hines, one of the top points guys, him and Krawick battling it out for the championship. Sampei beat him with a 687 to his 691 reaction time. 031 for her to 025 for him. Then up against the number one qualifier, Jerry Savoie. Her with a 690 to his 694 with an 8. Set the stage going up against Matt Smith. Matt Smith, on the other hand, up against Sean Gann, who red-lit in round one. And again, points leader Eddie Krawick in round two. Beat him with a 690 to a 6. At Krawick, 687, the whole shot, 029 to an 063 off the light. Piranha Jr., who was on the show, 018 with a 694 to Arana's 116 reaction with a 7.5. Then up against Angel Sampei, who had a respectable 687, but here's the kicker. She tripped the red light, so she was disqualified. Matt Smith with an 038, just coasted with an 8.04 to take the Wally. Now for the championship, here's how they shake out. Of course, Antron Brown had already clinched over Doug Kalita, win by 130 points, sealed the deal. Ronnie Capps over Tommy Johnson Jr., point win, even Johnson going all the way to take the last Wally. That bonus check at the end of the year probably looks a lot nicer. Pro stop, Jason Lyne did hold off his teammate by, get this, 3 points. Jason Lyne with a slight win had Jason Lyne not make it to the finals. Greg Anderson would have won, like, his, I think it's his eighth championship. For Lyne was just enough to keep that point lead from changing hands. Pro Stock Motorcycle, when all said and done, Jerry Savoie takes it over Eddie Krawick and Andrew Hines. I think it's the first time in quite some time where Krawick or Hines had not won the championship. And I think the last one to take it was Hector Arana Jr. a few years back. So there are your champions. Gerald Savoie, the Cajun from Louisiana, Jason Lyne in the Pro Stock car. Ronnie Capps gets one in Funny Car. And Antron Brown gets another one. I think he's one guy like his, that's like his third right now. So congratulations on your championships, peeps. And we're looking to have more from you next year. Maybe we'll try to get Erica on if she's not tucked away somewhere. I'll send the email out if she wants to call in next week. On to NASCAR. That's Camping World Truck Series out in Phoenix. They all come down to this. The final four heading into coming Sunday. Actually, for them, it's Friday. For the Ford EcoBoost 200, the final race deciding the top four going into it. Daniel Suarez takes the checkered flag, seals the deal into the round. Johnny Sauter takes second spot. Matt Kraft in third. Cameron Haley, fourth. Timothy Peters, fifth. Sixth, John Hunter Nemechek. Christopher Bell, seventh. Eighth, Matt Tiff. Ninth, Ben Kennedy, Cole Custer. Rounds out the top 10. Suarez, the Lucas Oil 150 of Phoenix. First career NASCAR Camping World Truck Series victory. Prior to the start of the race, Bullitt dropped to the rear of the field, number 50 and 63, which is Travis Quappel and the number 63, Norm Benning. Dominique Van Wieringen, who has been on the show a couple of times, made the field, started 24th, got wrecked with 26 laps in. She was in the number 02 Durabyte Ford. 9 cautions for 49 laps. So it would have been great to see her have a good run, but she's testing the waters for next season. So it's a shame, but would have loved to have seen her run the full race. But anyway, going into the final round, the final four for the Camping World Truck Series. Oh, and there were 5 lead changes amongst 3 drivers. Your final four are Johnny Sauter, your second place finisher, Matt Kraft, and your third place finisher, Christopher Bell, and Timothy Peters. They have 3 guys who have won a championship in the Camping World Truck Series. Christopher Bell is a rookie this season. He finished 7th in the race. So he's got to battle a lot of experience in Homestead to see if he can win the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series crown. So it'll be interesting to see who takes that one. You have Daniel Suarez talking about his win, and this is what he had to say.
If I could have your attention here in the media center, we are joined by tonight's race-winning team for the 22nd annual Lucas Oil 150. We have Daniel Suarez, driver of the number 51 Aris Toyota, and crew chief Kevin Bonomanian. With the win this evening, this is not only Daniel's first NASCAR Camping World Truck Series victory, but it also seals the 9th Manufacturers Championship for Toyota in 13 seasons in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. And it's also the 13th win this season for Toyota. Big night for you, Daniel. Talk about what it took for you to get the victory lane.
Well, definitely a lot of work, a lot of patience since last year. Last year we finished several times in second place finishes, and this year as well, if I remember correctly. And, you know, it's been hard for some reason to get our first victory. Sometimes we are super strong and just things happen. But I was very, very happy that we were able to finally make it, you know, get it done with Bono doing a really good job. We had a really fast Aris Toyota Tundra all day long. We unload very good, and we unload good. Normally, it's really good to start in a really good starting point. So, very, very happy for that. And looking forward to try to do the game tomorrow. Well, tomorrow as well, but next week in the last race and most important race of the season as well.
Daniel Suarez, your Camping World Truck Series winner. Being ship four. Had a little press conference with them. I'm not going to get to it because I've only got about a half an hour left, so I want to get to the other events of the season and talk about the upcoming grand finale and what to do for the off season. I might move the show for the off season to Sunday nights. This way we can let Papa see if I can conjure up somebody as a co-host. Anyway, on to the Xfinity Series as they lock in their final four for the Xfinity Cup. And again, it was a battle of Sprint Cup Series drivers kind of settling it in. Of course, Suarez couldn't. I was talking about the run in the finals in the Camping World Truck Series. He wasn't eligible because he's running for points in the Xfinity Series. My bad. Kyle Busch took the checkered flag. Austin Dillon taking second place for Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Good run for Ricky. Taking third. Fourth, Justin Allgaier, first Xfinity Series regular in the hunt. Daniel Suarez taking the fifth spot, your Truck Series winner. So he capped off an excellent run in the Truck Series with a good finish in the Xfinity Series, but drivers including one, the Xfinity Series all-time winner. Padding that total, and he didn't have a chance to take the win. Well, he might have had a chance, but whenever Kyle Busch is in a race in that series, you can't count him out. Ryan Reed, driver of the 16 Lilly Diabetes Ford for Roush Fenway, took the sixth spot. Ty Dillon, seventh. Eighth, Blake Koch. Ninth, Brad Keselowski, rounding out the top 10. Eric Jones, who is a rookie this season in the series. There were six cautions for 39 laps, fairly clean. Six lead changes amongst four drivers. Kyle Busch, of course, Eric Jones, Austin Dillon, Justin Allgaier were your four drivers leading laps. Like I said, Kyle Busch leading the most three times for 190. Everybody else single digits out of the 200. Allgaier once for two, Ty Dillon once for five, and Eric Jones once for three laps, probably on pit stops. Anyway, here are your final four for the Xfinity Cup. Elliott Sadler finally getting his chance to take one home. I know he left the Cup Series driving the number 28 for Robert Yates. To go down to the Xfinity Series, then Nationwide Series, and prior to that, to win a championship. And he's finally got a shot to do it. Daniel Suarez, also in the running. So you have Elliott Sadler, who drives the number one car. Daniel Suarez, who's the Gibbs driver in the two car. Elliott Sadler, Junior Motorsports. Daniel Suarez, Joe Gibbs. Justin Allgaier in the seven, Junior Motorsports. And number four, Eric Jones, who is driving the Joe Gibbs number 20. So you got two Gibbs drivers and two Junior Motorsports drivers driving for the championship. I wonder if NASCAR is going to, I'm sure they're going to allow Cup drivers to run in this one. So the highest finisher may or may not take the championship crown. Usually it's going to be, but play bonus points. If you lead a lap, you get one. If you lead the most laps, you get one. So, depending on where they finish and who leads what, if a second-place guy beats the third-place guy, say it's in that scenario, saying a cup driver wins the race, then it all depends on whether the second-place guy led a lap or the third-place guy led a lap. The third-place guy led a lap, then it goes down, they're tied, and points goes to a tiebreaker. So this is going to get kind of really, really interesting and should be something maybe I'm going to keep an eye out on this coming weekend. Facing the only races on this weekend anywhere are the three NASCAR Touring Series. So I'm going to check this out closely. See, let's say two Gibbs drivers, two junior drivers. So it's going to be interesting. Anyway, let's go listen to Kyle Busch after picking up another win. As a matter of fact, it was his 86th career NASCAR Xfinity Series victory. He's still young enough. He can top that 100 win mark in the Xfinity Series. I mean, Mark Martin was the leader, and he only had 50-something. And this was, we're going back some years. I was there for, I think, Mark Martin's last win. And Kyle Busch just walked on by. He's that good. He's got that much good equipment, and that's kind of how it goes. But anyway, here is Kyle Busch, your race winner. Had this thing queued up already, but what did I do with it?
If I can have your attention here in the media center, we're now welcomed by our race winner, Kyle Busch, and crew chief Chris Gale. This is Kyle's 10th Xfinity Series victory this season. Kyle, can you talk about your win today, once you're done with your...
No, we're good. Yeah. Our win was pretty good, obviously. We certainly set that out to do and accomplish, and we were able to do that. So certainly I got to thank Chris Gale and all my guys at Joe Gibbs Racing, everybody that does such a great job for our cars, for our team. It's cool to see us get a win. It's cool to see the other two being chase eligible. So we got something to really race for next week at Homestead. It's going to be fun sitting back and watching that on the couch and cheering those boys on. So, you know, I'm looking forward to next year, though. You know, it's disappointing to see Chris kind of moving on, but on the other hand, it's obviously exciting as well, too. So we're pumped for him, but, you know, we definitely accomplished what we wanted to accomplish tonight, being as though it was our last hurrah together for a little while, and had some fun.
Chris, can you talk about what this win means to you?
Yeah, it's, I mean, just reflecting on the whole season in general, it's great. We definitely wanted to go out, you know, talked about earlier this week inside the shop. We wanted to go sit on the pole, lead the most laps, and win this race. I mean, it's just important to the team, you know, to just last time with Kyle driving the car, we just wanted to kind of set that statement that, you know, kind of started out, been pretty dominant this year. I think there's another two or three races that we kind of left on the table with just things swinging one way or the other that we could have had, you know, two or three more wins. So it was good to kind of finalize everything. And my last race with him is just awesome experience. I've enjoyed the last 2 years. Great.
There is Xfinity winner and Kyle Busch. And they wanted to go out and sit on the pole and win the race, and they did. It's hard not to with Kyle Busch as your driver, good equipment in the Gibbs Toyotas. So that's pretty much how it went. The only reason why I left Chris Gale's audio there is it was their last race together, so pretty short and sweet. I wasn't there to ask questions, but if I was, I'd have played that too. You all remember from back in the days when I hit the Dover International Speedway. I play all my audio, so that's how it goes. Anyway, like I said, your final four are Sadler, Suarez, Allgaier, and Jones. Stu Gibbs to Junior Motorsports. I'd like to see, I mean, Jones is a rookie, but you know, it'd be good feather for Justin Allgaier to actually get one, so I'd like to see him get the win and take the Xfinity Cup and get one for Junior Motorsports. Of course, the odds-on favorite is, I'd say either Suarez or Jones being in that Gibbs equipment, but nothing can be stranger things have happened in the last race of the season. Fate might step in and all that. Anyway, on to the 500 at Phoenix International Raceway. This came down. This was kind of weird. Alex Bowman sat on a pole in the 88 car, filling in for Dale Earnhardt Jr. He led three times for 194 laps. He pretty much owned this race. And it was in a good shot to win when it came down to late pit stops. And needless to say, he wound up behind several people, one of them being Matt Kenseth. Matt Kenseth, looked like he was going to take the win and move on into the finale for his second championship in the Sprint Cup Series. But on one restart with about three or four to go, as a matter of fact, I'll check out the out of the 324-lap race. The restart on lap 18, they got going. Lap 318 was brought back out when the 88 was going for the lead. He was down low. Matt Kenseth came down and pinched him and wound up getting spun out and hitting the wall. Of course, the lap leaders, Kenseth, led from lap 262 to 316, looked like he was going to take the win. Bowman, who pretty much led from lap 100, 157 to 257, led 100 laps there, and of course he led the first 92 and then one in the middle. But looked like he was going to get his first ever Sprint Cup Series win, filling in for the injured Dale Earnhardt Jr., but like I said, that was not the case. Kenseth got the lead, held it for a while. Bowman had a shot at taking the lead until Kenseth came down a little bit and wound up getting turned and hitting the wall. So there went Kenseth's chances. And then we're watching the points battle throughout the day change between Hamlin and Kyle Busch and Joey Logano. And especially when Bowman was leading, then it came down to all your points, guys. Kenseth was in there as well, and Hamlin had a shot at it. And anyway, Hamlin started the fade. He did lead for a little bit. It was enough for a bonus point, not enough to claim anything. Anyway, but in that melee on the restart, that set the stage for Logano getting the top spot. Kyle Busch was want to restart next to him, and then Harvick and Kurt Busch and Bowman, they were to go. Of course, what hurt Hamlin, he chose to stay out on one of the last, second to last pit stop where everybody else came in and got the fresher tires. It was going to come down to fuel, but that one pit stop took that out of the equation, which was a good thing. I'm tired of watching races on fuel. and on fuel run, see who can go fast enough, but the slowest, but fast enough to stay ahead of the other guys. And on that last restart, of course, went green, white, checker. Joey Logano pulled away from Kyle Busch to take the checkered flag. Kyle Busch, of course, taking home the second spot. Kyle Larson, from a little ways back, I guess he had some fresher tires than everybody else, to take the third spot. Kevin Harvick was fourth. Kurt Busch, fifth. Alex Bowman wound up in the sixth position. I thought he had a better shot at it. Seventh was Denny Hamlin. Eighth, Ryan Blaney, a good run for Ryan in the 21 as a rookie. Ninth, Chase Elliott, a rookie who actually made the chase and had a chance to move on, but that was Talladega cost him. And rounding out the top 10 was Paul Menard. The average speed was 102 miles an hour. Margin of victory wasn't that big of a gap. Oh, about half a second, 6/10 of a second, maybe 3 hours, 8 minutes, 59 seconds. Nine cautions for 53 laps, the most of the weekend. And your, like I said, your lap leaders, or eight lead changes amongst five drivers, that being Kenseth, Bowman. Bowman dominated the race. He got the most bonus points, but he wasn't running for points. So it was a good showing for the 88 car with one race to go. So that being said, it all comes down to the final event of the year. Who are your final four? Going into the championship round, Joey Logano locks in the victory in round three. Jimmy Johnson, who started it off at Martinsville. Carl Edwards took Texas last week, so there were the three winning your end. So the fourth spot came down to points. And then is defending champ Kyle Busch. So Kyle has a shot at a repeat. Jimmy Johnson going for historic number seven. And then two guys going for their first. Carl Edwards, who's one of the nicest guys out there. I've had the pleasure of talking to him a few times on tape and just hanging out. And Joey Logano, who was touted the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's going to be interesting to see where that goes. Next week, we'll preview that a little bit. Let's hear from our race winner and championship four driver. Driver of the 22 Pennzoil Ford for Roger Penske. And, you know, he's going for Penske only has one Sprint Cup Series championship under his belt. And that was a few years ago with Brad Keselowski in the final year that Dodge was in it. So the Dodge went out with a bang, winning a championship with Keselowski and Penske. And Joey Logano is now in prime position for that.
If I can have your attention here in the media center, we are now joined by Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford for Team Penske, who not only won today's Can-Am 500, but he punched his ticket to Miami in the championship four. How sweet is that feeling?
Oh, I don't think I can put it into words. I'm still excited about it. I'm still yelling and screaming down in victory lane. This isn't just a race. This is a championship. We raced today like it was Homestead because we had to. And what an amazing feeling to be able to succeed under that amount of pressure and to have a race team that is truly better under pressure. I couldn't be more proud of that and to have the opportunity to have the pressure on us. Think about that. There's not many race teams that even have the opportunity to feel that weight on their shoulders, and that's special to have that. And and to be able to execute under that. A lot of people crack in those situations, and this team doesn't. And you think about this race and the way it was turning out there, you know, the first part of it, I was like, we're doing really good. We're in good shape here. And the next thing I know, all the cars that weren't super fast in the beginning have passed me. I'm like, oh, shoot, we're out. And it was going to be so close there at the end, racing Kevin with two to go to try to get ourselves through. And next thing you know, the caution comes out and the whole game changes. And next thing you know, we find ourselves as the leader and we win the race. And that's just that's NASCAR racing at its finest. You never know what's going to happen. It's so exciting. You always got to keep your head in it because it's just it's unbelievable. It's crazy.
Outstanding. We'll open the floor for...
There was Joey Logano. Of course, I would have asked him what he would have done. I mean, Matt Kenseth did wreck Joey Logano last year at Martinsville after Logano took all three races in that second round. And also... wrecking Kenseth and knocking him out of contention last year. Kenseth came back and pretty much ended Logano's championship hopes at Martinsville, the first race of that, paybacks. So now Joey Logano gets his retribution there and has a shot at winning a championship this coming weekend. And Carl Edwards... has a shot at it as well, along with Kyle Busch. Now we're going into Homestead. Carl Edwards came up a little short one year, lost on tiebreakers to Tony Stewart, which gave Stewart his third NASCAR Sprint Cup championship. His first year as a team owner with Stewart Haas. It's kind of like went from a back-tier team to a front-tier team and just a change of adding the smoke. Smoke, of course, in his second to the last race of the year. As well, not having too good a run, wound up 15th. On we go to Miami. How's it going to look? Like I said, four guys have a shot at winning a championship. Edwards, Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, and Jimmy Johnson. But since this format has started, whoever has won the race championship, because all the chasers involved were up near the front battling it out. The only one last year who finished in the top four that wasn't a chaser was Joey Logano. Carl Edwards finished 11th, started 7th. Logano was the number 2 qualifier. So, and then you have Kyle Busch, who did the unthinkable of being out 11 races with a serious injury, coming back, had to make the top 30 in points once he got a win just to even qualify for the chase. Came back and actually won 4 that year and wound up taking his first ever Sprint Cup championship. If anybody could have done it, it would have been him just on a sheer talent. Hey, last year your top 4 led the most laps combined. Logano with 72, Keselowski with 86, Harvick with 46, and then your winner, Kyle Busch, with 41. The only other lap leaders were Kyle Larson, Jeff Gordon, who actually punched his ticket into that round. He could have went out as a champ for his 5. He had that drive for 5 ever since he got 4 in 2001, but fell short, and this was his best chance to go out with it. Of course, we know Kyle Busch took it, and here's your other big lap leader. Of course, Larson led 2. Gordon led 9. And leading 8 laps Carl Edwards. So that's what it's coming down to. Now I have to make my pick. Who do I think is? I'd like to see Carl Edwards win it. But out of these four guys, they all got a shot at it. What did Jimmy Johnson do last year? He wound up ninth. He didn't lead a lap, but you can't rule him out. Jimmy Johnson, always a serious threat, especially when he's in it. He's done it before. He has the experience to do it. He hasn't gotten it in this new format, though. So there is going to be the contention that he's going to do it. So it's going to be interesting to see who takes it home. Who do I want to see win it, and who do I think has got a realistic shot of it? You know, looking at it objectively, I'd like to see Carl Edwards get his first, just because, nothing against Kyle, nothing against Jimmy Johnson, both talented guys. Do I want to see Johnson get into that, be the third guy to tie for seventh and have a shot at an eighth? Not this year. I want to see a first-timer get it again. I'd like to see Edwards, but objectively, Joey Logano. I think the Penske Fords have something dialed in there, but you can't count out Joe Gibbs' Toyotas. They got two entries, and, of course, the lone Chevy. Okay, you have a lone Ford, a lone Chevy is Jimmy Johnson, six-time. So, objectively, I'd like to see, as a fan, I'd like to see Carl Edwards get it. Objectively, I think it's going to go to Joey Logano. But as an outlier, don't count out the other two. They both have champions. Kyle Busch has one. He's defending, so he's going to be hungry. And Jimmy Johnson has six. He's looking for number seven to make history and join the big two of Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt. And everybody thought Gordon was going to do it, but that's not the case. Anyway, hope you all enjoyed today's show. It's been fun. One more race weekend coming up. So we'll have Miss Sprint Cup on. We'll try to get Miss Sprint Cup on, Madison Martin, to help wrap up the season. It's the final race for Sprint as a sponsorship. So we're going to look at a new trophy next year. So it's been fun this season. We'll wrap it up next week. I'm Vince Bonfigli, your host. Hope you all enjoyed the show. Good day and good racing. See you all. Bye now.